1210 on WGN. So to see what's on the menu for today's Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Catch 35, the perfect menu for your next business lunch. I'll mention again that John's going to join us here in a second to talk about inflation and interest rates, the elephant in the room that we have not been talking much about, and the overall outlook about a recession. We'll also, on the Wintrust Business Lunch this afternoon, talk a little bit about the International Film Fest in town and another brewery that you might want to know about and try. Incidentally, in the last half hour, we were talking about that crazy notion that there are litter boxes in some public school restrooms for kids that identify as cats. You heard me right. Don't ask me to say that again. But a governor in Minnesota, a candidate for governor in Minnesota, is saying that. And so, too, is a woman that's running for Congress here in Illinois in the Chicago area. This text came in. My husband is the assistant principal of a North Suburban high school. He's in charge of building equipment and has made all the restroom requirements for gender neutral use, etc. And litter boxes are not part of the protocol. Hey, John, do these schools have scratching posts? And Steve Alexander texted in to say, Wally Phillips and Roy Leonard are on line one. They've been listening and have some thoughts. Yes, the great fathers of this radio station must wonder what we've come to. Let's talk to John Beaver now. Financial advisor, Phase 3 Advisory Services at phase3advisory.com. Hi, John. Give us some of your time today. How are you?
I'm doing very well, and all this craziness is also in the market, and it can be very disorienting. And so we're going to try and sort this out, how people can keep themselves upright in their portfolios.
Boy, if you thought that news I was doing was crazy, wait till you hear about the markets. What happened yesterday? How often do we have a 1,300-point swing?
Well, we tend to get those in two places. The first one is when we're actually working with a reversal, and yesterday did not quite meet the definition of a reversal day. It would be really nice if it did. That means the market pierces the low, reverses back up, and it's time to start moving on the upward trek. The second time that we see those is in a pause in a further decline or a further rise, depending on if it's a negative reversal or a positive reversal. So we do see them, but they don't happen often. And again, they're very disorienting, and people are trying to figure out, well, is the market going up? Is this a selling opportunity? So you have to really understand your time frame and understand the environment that we're in. We are in an inflationary environment. So higher rates are still ahead. We still have strong employment. So that inflation is not going away anytime soon. We also have heard that we've got very low stocks of diesel and heating oil. That's going to continue to be supportive for inflation. And we just don't see the Fed stopping nor slowing. In fact, that's what Chairman Powell told us about a month ago. They're going to be keeping at it until they actually see the whites of the eyes of low inflation, 2%, and higher unemployment.
You know, the three numbers that we all seem to be talking about every week, inflation, we talk about the markets, and we talk about interest rates. And I know they're all sort of tied together. I think in the long run, a lot of us are thinking, well, if I have to bite the bullet on groceries and gas for a while, I'll somehow get through, but just promise me I'll be able to retire someday. I think that's the eye on the prize that people worry about the most. Would you agree with that?
No, definitely. And again, higher inflation rates are nice when we have higher rates for those savers, but the stock market has to reprice. And this is what we're going through. The stock market is repricing for a higher interest rate environment. It's this simple. When rates are low, investors demand less return. If they demand less return, they're willing to pay more for stocks and have a lower return going forward. Because we can't control companies' earnings. All we can control is the price we pay those companies for their stock, the price we're paying for the stock. So when interest rates move up, that means investors are demanding a higher return on their stocks, means they're willing to buy at lower prices, but not higher prices. When that change in interest rates, when that move up in interest rates is quick, like what we've had here, that's extremely disorienting. But we will get this resolved. These rates aren't going to go up forever. Now, they went up quite a bit in the 1970s, but they eventually stopped and came back down. So the inflation rate and the interest rates will peak out at some point in time, and we'll see a little bit more stability in the stock market at that point in time. Perhaps a couple months before, but as we get close to that, and that's what everybody's trying to figure out, is where's the top in the rates?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to ask you that in just a second. Stay right there. John Beaver with Phase 3 Advisory Services. Speaking of the markets, Bob Kessler's in the newsroom. 1220 on WGN. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. John Beaver joins us now and again. Let's talk a little bit more about the interest rates, John. You said, remember, we went through it in the 70s, and I was just thinking about that. You don't think that, say, 30-year fixed mortgage rates are going to go as high as they once were, do you?
I have no idea, but we do know this. The rates have jumped here. Eventually, they will come back down and will settle in at a range that everybody's trying to figure out. Maybe that's 4% on the 10-year treasury, and maybe that's, you know, 5.5% on the 30-year mortgage. But we are in an inflationary cycle that can last a couple of decades. With so much money that's in the system, between the Federal Reserve and the Treasury printing $9 trillion and the additional government borrowing of $21 trillion in the last 15 years, that's going to create inflation in the system that's going to be very hard to control. So this is going to be a course of fighting inflation perhaps for a couple of decades.
So the elephant in the room is all of that debt then?
It's a $21 trillion worth of debt. See, while we're sitting here worrying about inflation today, I'm sorry, $31 trillion worth of debt, as we're sitting here trying to fight inflation, I mean, think about it. We had the financial crisis, that was a distraction, and then we had COVID. And we're sitting here thinking about inflation. Meanwhile, the government debt just continues to grow and grow. So today, our government debt at $31 trillion is larger than our GDP. That's never a good sign. You never want your government debt to exceed your nation's GDP. The last time that happened was World War II at the very end of the war. And it was just for 1 year, and GDP grew, and the debt was reduced. And we got that ratio all the way down to about 40%, where the debt was 40% of GDP. And again, GDP is everything we produce in a year as a country, all of our services and goods that we sell. So right now, we actually have a debt to GDP ratio of 120%. We've been above that 1-to-1 level, that 1-to-1 ratio, for over 5 years. So now the government's going to have to be turning its attention to how do they deal with the debt eventually. And that'll take a front seat to what's best for the economy, unfortunately. And I don't know when we're actually going to, you know, see that hit the headlines. Maybe it's not going to be for 4 or 5 years, but the longer we go not dealing with this, the bigger the problem is going to be down the road. It's just like what the Fed did. The Fed pushed down interest rates too far, too long, and now we're paying for that. And the same thing is going to happen with the debt. So, but how do you do this? How do you deal with this as an investor? You invest for inflation. So you want to hold investments that will actually benefit from inflation. For example, I-bonds for your shorter term emergency money. And believe it or not, stocks over the long haul do adjust for inflation because companies can raise their prices and they can maintain those earnings. It's just stocks are volatile while those rates are rising.
Energy and banking have been doing well this week. Is that anticipating these high rates that you're talking about?
Yes, and that's a good place to be. We've got quite a bit, you know, the news on energy is, you know, all over the place, and we do have shortages there. It doesn't help that OPEC has decided to cut, you know, what they've cut. And it doesn't help that we've got to fill this SPR back up. I mean, we've taken the oil out of it, but we've got to fill that thing back up again. So energy still looks like a good place to be. The energy stocks are not overvalued. And banks are finally another good place to be as we get higher interest rates that does benefit the banks. We talked about that a month ago. I don't think it's, you know, too late to get in. I don't think that the run is over. This could be a multi-year run.
I wonder what we should ask government to do then. Is it as simple as spend less and tax more? I wonder how we close that deficit gap.
In the same way that we close that deficit gap in our households, right? So we take a look at the budget, we cut what we can. If we can, we increase our income so we can get that budget turned right back up again. But unfortunately, we just don't seem to be electing politicians that have the will to do that.
Or maybe we don't know what the right way to do it is. There's two philosophies, right? You ease taxes on the people that create wealth, and then it trickles down to everybody else, or you tax the rich more. Where do you fall on that?
Well, it's a delicate balance for sure. There's no question about it. You have to keep a growing economy. So you have to do what's going to be best for businesses. Give them an environment where they can actually grow. Because what that does, that increases employment, that increases income, and that just feeds through the system. Now, we had that in the 1980s and 90s, but unfortunately, it was spurred by too much government borrowing. They went overboard on that. So the real challenge is keeping that budget balanced, and those are the two ways to do it. Unfortunately, if you raise taxes too high, you stall the economy. So you can only raise taxes a little bit more. We're getting close to where that bubble is, but we've got room to raise the taxes a little bit more. But we have to exercise discipline on the government spending.
You're talking about corporate taxes?
It would be the whole tax picture. I mean, you take a look at the whole tax burden on the entire economy.
Talk to me just briefly then. Well, I don't think we've talked much about the market valuation. Maybe we have. We mentioned that energy and banking are good sectors to be in. Are there other areas that you would steer clear of or would direct people towards?
Well, I think we're getting to the point where people can actually be buyers in the market. You know, we're getting to the point of some maximum pessimism, which is really good. We like to see that. We like to see the retail investor kind of running and hiding, and they're starting to do that. That's good. Yesterday was an indication that the institutions were in there buying. That wasn't the retail investor buying. That was the institutions buying. So this is all good, and the market is down to a level now where it can be bought. It's not dirt cheap, but it's a relatively reasonable value. So where do we go from here? Well, we're looking at a minimum low of 3,500 on the S&P 500 or 28,000 on the Dow. We did that yesterday. We could press lower from here, so the investors have to, you know, have a longer term time frame. But this is a good time to be actually buying the general market. If I were to focus in an area a little bit more than the broad market, I would look at value-oriented stocks and value-oriented funds. And for those that want to be very narrow, as we mentioned, energy and banking.
You know, John, so many of us aren't trading individual equities. We just picked a kind of fund for our mutual funds or for our retirement accounts, and we hope, you know, we're just dollar cost averaging. We're all throwing, those of us lucky enough to, are just throwing money in these funds and hope that we're going to get a return on these low prices right now. That's kind of where most of us are.
And the market in this period of time where inflation is rising, it does a dance like this. Three steps forward, one step back. Three steps forward, one step back. So from 2016, we had three steps forward, and then we had the COVID one step back. We've had another three steps forward, and now we're taking that one step back. We'll have another three steps forward. So if we think about it that way, you know, right now, like you said, this is the time to be a buyer, and we will wait and eventually hopefully see that three steps forward again. I can't predict that because I don't know the future.
Yeah, but right now it feels like three steps back and one step forward.
It does.
And in fact, yes, that's what we've been doing for the last year or so as well. Really for about the last year, we had a nice run. I would say it's not even been a year, but this market has been in a pretty full retreat for the last 6 months anyway.
Yeah, we started this year at the high, and since the beginning of January, we've been on our way down. Here's an interesting thing. In the years where the market starts off bad, if we take a look at the last 10 times that that has happened, 9 out of those last 10 times the market has been higher in the fourth quarter. We're in the fourth quarter. That doesn't mean this fourth quarter will be higher, but at least the odds are on our side.
John Beaver is a financial advisor at Phase 3 Advisory Services. Okay, John. We'll talk again. Thanks for your thoughts today.
All right. Sounds good.
1229 WGN Radio News is next.